Oh, it's good to see you. It's good to be here. If you could open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. My voice got louder. Thanks, Jeff. It's called Hearing His Voice, Obeying His Voice. Hearing His voice, obeying His voice. Hopefully nobody gets offended. Roll my sleeves up. It's hot up here. I just love you guys. I do. You're me and my wife's family. We have family. But we love you guys just like we love our family. There's really no difference. I'm going to pray and just ask the Lord just to touch me and anoint it. God, I just love you, Father. And God, you're so faithful. You're always faithful and you're always true to your word. Lord, man may falter and fail and we have frailties and shortcomings, God, but your word is strong. Your word is true. Your word is life. God, when we bring your word with a pure heart, God, there's no fear, there's no trepidation because your word's true. Your word is going to accomplish that which you want to accomplish. It's powerful. God, man standing alone is powerless and we're weak, but your word is powerful. God, I just ask your word to do the work tonight. God, you just empty me out, Father, and pour me out. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And just fill me with Jesus so that you can be seen and you can be glorified. And there will be truth and it will be life. It will be like rivers of living water. God, just let every word be spoken from your heart. Not my own interpretations or my own slant on anything, but let it be the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hearing His voice, obeying His voice. The first part, hearing His voice, that's not the hard part. Hearing God's voice is not the hard part. It's obeying His voice that's the hard part. That's the difficult part. And that's the part I'm going to spend most of the time talking about, is obeying God's voice to you. And first, I'm going to do some, necessary tilling of the word to show you you do hear God's voice. I was preparing this, and I felt like the Lord put on my heart, you need to show them how they hear God's voice, that everybody in here hears the Lord's voice, that there be no doubters, that you don't come to question whether you hear God's voice or not. I don't really hear God's voice. I don't really think He speaks to me. Well, that's not true at all. That's total falsehood. And I'm going to show you three different ways where God speaks to you on a daily basis. Every single one of you that's born again, that's called upon the Lord, down from the babe to the oldest person in here, that you hear God and that He talks to you. If you're not spurning His Son and His grace, God will talk to you. He will guide you. God's voice is often thought of as a mystery. I've talked to a lot of people that God's voice is some sort of enigma or a puzzle that only the biblical elite can somehow stumble on God's voice. You know, He only speaks to those that spend a lot of time in His Word. That's not true. A few weeks ago, I had a friend at work, and he's a Christian, and we differ in a lot of our beliefs, but he said to me, he goes, you know, I don't understand what people mean by they say they heard God's voice or God spoke to them. He said, God doesn't speak to me. He speaks through His Word. He speaks to me through His Word. And, you know, there's a portion of that that's true, but it was kind of sad to hear him say that. Actually, he grew up in Christian circles that there's no belief that God will speak to you personally. And I was sad. I was like, what kind of life is that? You know, what kind of Christian life is that? Thinking God's not going to speak to me personally. He's not going to come into my life personally and say, this is the way, walk in it. Or there'd be a still small voice. And I was like, that's sad, you know. And I want to tell them that God speaks to them personally. Some people have a misconception of the voice of God. And this is kind of a teaching. It's kind of a teaching on God's voice. And it's hard because I was started preparing this and I was like, oh, geez, you know, teaching on God's voice. I didn't plan on doing this. But the voice of God, some people think it has to come audibly. God has to speak to you audibly. It's something you have to hear for your physical waking ears. And that's not true either. God, there's not going to be this booming voice in the heavens. The voice of the Lord, it's not a mystery though either. First of all, the voice of God, this is all just preparation before I dive in. The voice of the Lord is His Word, first of all. That's your first understanding as a Christian. That's like the baby steps. That's kindergarten. God's voice to you is His Word, first and foremost. That's something we have to have established. God will speak to you through His Word. God's Word is constantly speaking to you. Every time you open the book, it's God talking to you. God's talking to you. Whether you feel, you know, a tingle down your spine or warm fuzzies or whatever, doesn't matter what you feel, God's talking to you through His Word. And He wants to guide you. He wants to speak to you personally. Just like you parents with your kids, you're giving them direction. Go this way, go that way, turn right. Don't do that, don't touch that, you know? That's the Lord talking to you through His Word. And you can think of it as an intimacy because it is. And that's not to say He doesn't speak to you personally. He doesn't say something directly to you, because He will and He does. And that's not to say that we don't hear a still small voice instructing us, correcting us, leading us, guiding us, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you in many ways. And I'm going to tell you how. There's another type of believer that puts so much emphasis on the voice of God that they forget what the Bible says. These are the scary ones. They fancy themselves to have God on their own spiritual phone and He just talks to them all the time like a buddy. I've met so many people that they're always telling me, God told me something. God gave me a word for you. God told me about this. Or God spoke to me. And the whole while, what God spoke to them is in direct contradiction with what God already spoke to them. Does that make sense? You know, there's a lot of people out here that they're on this kick that, you know, they're always on their cell phone with God. You know, He's just talking to them all the time. And they have this special word. And you're going, huh? Because it's different. Like, that doesn't sound right. That's not what His Bible says. Why would He tell you that? And so there's a fine line. There's a balance for us Christians. God speaks through His Word constantly, but God will speak to you. But here's the trick. God will never speak to you outside of His Word. He's never going to contradict His Word. He's never going to come against it and say, I got a new word for you. That doesn't happen. But there's a difficulty there when it comes to start obeying His voice. When the whole while people contradict the Word by what they think God's telling them. I want to tell you that in these days it's so important that we don't only hear the Lord's voice, but we obey what God's voice is saying to you. I want to tell you the hard part is not hearing but doing. God's voice is not difficult to hear. If you're looking to Him, if you're trusting Him and walking with Him, it's not hard. It's not something you have to strain to hear. It's following through and obeying. We hear, but sometimes we don't listen. You hear God speaking to you, but sometimes you don't want to listen. I don't want to listen to that. God's voice will never contradict His Word. Never, 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 never. God will speak to you, and He will speak to you things that aren't in here word for word at times. But you know what? He will always enlighten or expound upon what's in here. Okay? He's not going to give you some new revelation that isn't buttressed and supported and held up by everything in here. Does that make sense? Okay, He's never going to speak to you something that's not in this book, or that doesn't get totally backed up in here, and that's not out of context, but He keeps it in context of the Bible. What God speaks to you, what revelation He gives you, or correction will never disagree. First and foremost, He will always speak to you through this book. Whatever translation, not paraphrasing, He will speak to you through this book. God will also speak through a still small voice. This is number two. He'll also speak to you through a still small voice. What's a still small voice? I'll tell you. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. This is all just kind of a laying a foundation here, as the preachers call it. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, God spoke to Elijah, and it was through a still small voice. And I'm going to just read it because it makes more sense just to read it. In 1 Kings 19, chapter 8, it says, Elijah, he rose and he ate and he drank, and he went into the strength of that food for 40 days. And in verse 9, he went into a cave and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. So God's speaking to him. And God speaks and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets. I alone am left and they seek my life." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was still not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And there's a note in my Bible, and it says it's a delicate, whispering voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I want to talk about it for a second. This is kind of what I felt like the Lord spoke to me out of this. You know, we're always looking for outward signs. I'm always looking for something audible. I'm always looking for something big. I'm looking for something tangible, something I can touch, something that's real to me, something that involves no work for me. But God came to Elijah in a still, small voice. It wasn't hard to hear it, but he had to listen to hear it. Does that make sense? A still, small voice. If you're making so much noise and doing your own thing so loud, it's going to be real hard to hear that still small voice. But it's not hard to hear it if you're listening for it. God will speak to you, and He does speak to you through a still small voice. That's my whole point, is God first will speak to you through His Word, and I guarantee you, every person in here, God will speak to you daily in a still small voice, because it's always right in line with His Word. Simple things, like don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Come seek me right now. Come right now. And you know, because it lines right up with the Word, Satan's not going to tell you not to do that. The devil's not going to tell you don't say that. And the Holy Spirit wants to guide you and lead you. And I said it once, we hear but we don't listen. We hear God's voice, but we don't obey God's voice. And what's to happen if we choose to obey? What's the reward? What's the outcome? How can God use you when you just get in the habit of doing what the voice of God says to you through His Word? It becomes habit. It becomes your life. God says, "Stop that," or "Don't do that," or "Go here," or "Say this," or "Don't say that." And you're like, "You know, that's a nice thing to say. Tell them good job. Good job. Tell them you love them. I love you. Don't say I'm mad at you. Keep your mouth shut." When we start to listen to God's voice, it's God simply taking you like a lump of clay and He's molding you. He's making you like Jesus. And we like to be stubborn. Who am I preaching at?
Me.
God, the Holy Spirit, a gentleman, though. He's a gentleman, right? He's not going to force anything on you through circumstances. You know, He's speaking to you. And this is one thing that I was feeling. I was like, you know what? That still small voice is easy to be overpowered by my flesh. I still hear it, but it's so easy. That strong man in my flesh wants to overpower that voice and get a hold of it and put its hand on its mouth. Don't listen. Don't listen to that. My flesh is so much stronger. Don't listen to the voice of God or listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. You know, do what your flesh wants. Do what you feel is best. Do what makes you feel good. Don't listen and heed that. And that strong man, he's so strong and he wants to quiet that voice and snuff it out. And that voice, in the same token, will become louder when we walk with him closer, right? The closer you walk to him, it'll be a lot easier to hear that voice speaking to you. And God's word. God will bring the word out and speak it to you. And it's dangerous though with my next point. My next point is God will speak to you through circumstances. He'll speak to you through circumstances and situations, and God will shut doors and open doors for you. Does that make sense? There's a door open, and I'm going to walk through this door. And God, boom, shuts it right in your face. That's God speaking to you. But this is the dangerous one. This one you got to be careful with. Because when you start taking these tokens and these, God speaking to me through situation and speaking to me through circumstance in my life, you have to check your heart. Your heart has to be upright before Him. Your heart has to desire His will and not your will. Because when we run around saying, God opened up this door and shut this door and He altered this circumstance for me, you better look out. Because your heart is going to start leading you. Because you'll start looking for doors to open and shut and start calling them God. Right? So before you start laying fleeces before the Lord, you check your heart. You better be surrendered. I speak from experience, unfortunately. I've asked God, hey, you know, this door opens. It's you. And Satan kicks that door right open. My heart wasn't right. I wanted what I wanted. I already had my sights set on what I wanted. Whether what God's voice says or not, I already knew what my sights were on. And I'm looking for any way to get to that thing. I'll take anything I can get. So when God is speaking to you through circumstances or situations or through other people, your heart needs to be surrendered to Him. You need to be listening to Him and saying, your will, not my will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's a story I heard. There was this guy and he was on a diet. You know, it was a godly diet. You know, he was overweight. And he's on this diet and he's praying the Lord to help him. And, you know, Lord, I need to lose some weight, you know. So he's on his way to work, and there's this bakery he used to always stop at. So he's driving by this bakery, and he has this favorite coffee cake that he loves. He gets it all the time. He's on his diet. He's like, I can't get it, you know, I'm on my diet. So he prays, and he says, Lord, if you want me to have that coffee cake, you make a parking spot open right in front of the bakery. Right in front. And he said, and wouldn't you know it? The seventh trip around the block, there was a parking spot open right in front of the bakery, and God wanted me to have my coffee cake. And that example exemplifies our heart. You already know what you want, and it's not what God wants. And so you're going to do whatever, take whatever avenue you can to get that thing you want. So it's important your heart be right before you start telling people God's speaking to you through circumstance. But those are the three ways God will speak to you. You hear me? Every single one of you. None of you is exempt. God will speak to you through His Word. You say, I don't hear God's voice. I don't know what God's voice is. Well, you start reading this book and you'll start hearing it. You'll start knowing, wow, that sounds a lot like the Word. That lines right up with the Word. God's talking to me. First of all, He speaks to every one of you through this book. Everyone. And second, God will speak to you daily through a still small voice if you listen. If you listen. And third, God will speak to you through circumstances and situations. He will. If your heart is right, if your heart's surrendered to Him, He'll do things for you. I mean, there's been times in my life, even the simplest thing with my wife. You know, before I got married, I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, if this is the girl for me, these are my words exactly, that you will have to drop her in my lap. Because I am not going to make and Isaac. I'm not. If she's the one for me, you will bring her to me. I'm not going after this girl. Period. He dropped her right in my lap. My heart was right. It was right. I was like, I'm not going to do anything to make this happen. I'm not going to try to engineer this in my flesh. Lord, I want Your will. You open and shut every door You have to. And you know what? That brings me to something else. In your life, is there any door that Satan can keep shut in your life that God wants open? That's a question. No. Does God want the worst for you? No. He wants the best for you. Is God going to make it happen if He wants it to happen for you? If your heart is surrendered and you want His will, you guarantee He will. If you are surrendered to Him, you say, God, I want Your will. I want Your will for my life, and I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to try to do it in my flesh. Will God make a way for that thing to come to pass, His will in your life? Yes, He will. There is so much peace in that. There's so much peace in knowing, God, I'm praying for a job. I need a job, and I'm not going to go put in an infinity amount of applications to try to get a job. I want You to speak to me. I want You to show me the one You want for me. You tell me what You want me to do. Will God do that thing for you and bring you exactly what He wants? Yes, He will. God doesn't need you, but He does need you. God doesn't work through angels and apparitions. He chooses to work through us, right? But He doesn't need you to get your hands in and try to help Him be God. He will do it for you if you trust Him. And He'll speak to you. In Gideon, remember when Gideon lays a fleece before the Lord? Remember? I'm gonna tell you the story. The Lord tells Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver these people great victory. And Gideon says, well, there's a lot of unbelief in my heart. Lord, if I lay a fleece before You, put a piece of wool before You, and that fleece is soaked with dew in the morning, and all the ground around it is dry, I'll know that was You talking to me. So he goes to bed and he gets up, and sure enough, it says he wrings out that fleece and there's a whole bowl full of water in it, and the ground is all dry. God does it for him, speaks to him, says, that's My will. He says, well, that's pretty good. He says, God, this time I want all the ground wet around the fleece, and I want the fleece dry. Do that for me so I know it's You. And you know what? God does it for him again. And it's the same thing in your life. If your heart is pure, God will show you that's it. But that's what He has for you. God will speak to you. I just felt like the Lord was putting on my heart tonight that He wanted you to know that He speaks to you. God wants you to know that He speaks to you. And He will speak to you through Pastor Mark up here. He'll speak to you through the Word. He'll speak to you when you're alone. God will speak to you. But the whole point of all this is not about God speaking to you as much as what you do with what God speaks to you. That's why it's called hearing His voice, obeying His voice. We can hear it all day long, but if we don't act on it, it's for nothing. If I don't act on what God speaks to me, how can He use me? He's just like a broken record. He can talk to me all day, but if I'm not willing to do what He asks me, if the Word says to love my neighbor and I choose to hate my neighbor, how can God use me? I continually hate this person. I was praying today, you know. I'll just be real with you guys, praying at work. God, take hate from my heart. Take hate out of my heart. I see people, I deal with people, things, and like hate, you know, my flesh just riles up. I don't like you. God, take that away. That's not right. Take hate out of my heart. Make me have love for these people because You spoke to me. That's what You want me to do. You spoke to me. You want the fruit of Spirit to be in my life. You told me that. You told me You want to use me. Every Christian in here, God wants to use you. And He told you He wants to use you. He told you. And it says in His book, He's faithful to complete it, the work He started in you. If you listen, if you let Him continue going your own way, it's awful hard for God to use you if you continue going your own way. You can hear it, but you won't listen. And I just felt in my heart the Lord was saying, there's a quote, I'm not going to tell you who said it because some of you might not like me, but she said, you know, God has never planned anything less than your highest joy for you. Do you hear me? God has never planned anything less than your highest joy. Because I'll tell you, when you're in the presence of God, when you're intimate with Him, when you know Him, that is the top of the mountain. That's the pinnacle. And you are in the place God created you to be, using you. There's peace. You're fulfilled. And God can use you. And that's your highest joy. When we get to heaven, that will be your highest joy. This whole body will pass away and everything your spirit ever wanted. Ugh. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, take me home. I want to go home. God has never planned anything less for you. He wants what's best for you. That is one of the biggest lies in the world right now, in this world we live in. That somehow this world has crafted something greater for you than what God wants. That somehow you could be more pleased or more satisfied with what this world has to offer than what God Almighty has already planned for you. What a lie from the pit of hell. That's the one that attacks me all the time. You know, this will make me happy, that'll make me happy. When you know what? God's like, oh geez, just come to me. Just come to me. I know what you need and what's going to make you happy and what's going to fulfill you. God wants what's best for you. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Finally, we made it. We made it to where Wyatt's going to start.
You thought we already started.
It's hard to pick on Moses. Not a lot to pick on. But we're going to talk about hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice in Moses' life. Exodus chapter 3. He wasn't perfect. You know, the Bible is beautiful. It doesn't hide any of our shortcomings. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and God came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So we have Moses. He fled from Egypt. He killed an Egyptian. He fled from Egypt. He's been living in the back of the wilderness. He's tending his father-in-law's sheep or goats, whatever. And God comes and speaks to Moses. Now, at this time in Moses' life, he's 80 years old. He's 80. You know, I think of that as old. And then I started thinking, I was like, you know what, that's a long time to be alive. That's a lot of life experience that was under Moses' belt. So I better be careful when I pick on him because he had a lot of life experience. I started thinking, his kids were probably in their 30s or 40s. They were probably pretty old by this time. Because it says right when he got there, I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway. So earlier, go up to verse 21 and verse 2. Just go up a few verses. Verse 21 says that Moses was content to live with the man, talking of Jethro, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses, and she bore him a son, and he named him Gershom, for he had said, I've been a stranger in a foreign land. And 23 says, Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. They cried out, and their cry came before God because of their bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant He'd never forgotten. And with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Now, one thing I want to talk about, at this time, there's not a lot written about Moses up to this time. He's only been in the Bible for 3 chapters right now. He was born, the whole issue with the Egyptian, his brothers fighting, he flees, and now he's in the wilderness. We don't know a lot about his life. We know that he was educated in the ways of the Egyptians. We know he spoke their language. It says he was smart in Acts. It says that he had a quick mind and he had learned their ways and stuff. But we don't know a lot about his relationship with the Lord. Or even if he had one. We don't know a lot about it. It says in Acts, if you want to read in Acts chapter 7, Stephen talks about it. But at this point, give me some leeway. Moses is not a spiritual giant at this time in his life. He's not walking with God in intimacy. He knows he's a Hebrew. He knows who his God is because he tried to take matters in his own hands in Egypt. It says in the Bible that he thought his brothers that His people would understand that God was going to bring deliverance through His hand. So he had an understanding of that. But, and I'll tell you why I believe that. So he's not a guy that is in total reverence and fear of the Lord per se, as he's going to be. And I'll show you why. In chapter 2, it says that, or in verse 2 of chapter 3, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." So God comes to Moses, who's content in the wilderness, living in the backside of the wilderness, and God speaks to him. God speaks to him. And one thing that in verse 21 I wanted to bring out, it says, "And Moses was content." Danger. Danger, Christian. Content. I had a brother at a Bible school. He used to always say, "Be content," or "Always be content, but never be satisfied." Always be content, never be satisfied. And in this verse, I see Moses, he's comfortable. He's comfortable with his life. He's comfortable with the routine. He's lived there for 40 years. He's comfortable. He's got a family. He's got a job. This is his routine. Comfort. Danger. And God comes to him and he speaks to him. And God's no respecter of persons. He comes and he knows the pain and the suffering of the Hebrews. And he comes and speaks to Moses. And I was thinking, I wondered if Moses would have stayed there and not took matters in his own hands. I wonder if Moses would have been grieved and groaning and hurting with God if he still lived there. These are the kind of things my mind starts to run. I start thinking and I'm going, you know what? Moses took matters in his own hands. And you know, the providence of God, I understand all that God's sovereign. But if Moses wouldn't have tried to do that, would he still be living there? Still trying to help them? Would he be feeling God's pain instead of comfortable in the wilderness? That's something for you to think about. So Moses is in the back of the desert and this angel comes and speaks to him. And Moses says, "I'll turn aside and I'll see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." So he has this experience. He's going through the desert and he sees this bush. He turns aside to see it. You know, it's almost like a sermon or something anointed comes into your life and there's a crossroads. Like he has to make a choice. And he turns aside and God speaks to him. And this is one of the reasons that I think Moses had a ways to go with his walk with God, is because immediately God calls out to him. He says, "Here I am." And immediately God says, "Don't draw near to this place. Take the sandals off your feet." And I wonder if there was maybe a lack of reverence at this point in Moses' hand. There's a lack of familiarity with the Lord. He didn't really understand the things of the Lord. He wasn't tight, if you will, with the Lord. And because immediately God says, "Stop, take the sandals off your feet. You know, this is holy ground. This is a holy place. I'm a holy God. Then come here. I want to talk to you." Does that make sense? It's kind of how my mind works. So and God coming into Moses' life, and Moses' responses also show us what's in his heart. The way Moses talks to God is showing us how content he is in where he's at. Because immediately when God says, "I'm going to send you," Moses says, "Why? Who am I? Why? What are you picking me for?" Immediately. And I was like, "Man, Moses, a bush is talking to you." That's what's going on. I'm not going, "You got a voice coming out of a bush that's not being consumed talking to you. So some respect, boy." You know? And I was like, "Man, what was in this guy's heart? Was he unfamiliar with the Lord? Did he have a lack of a walk with God?" But God still chose him. And here's the beautiful thing. God still spoke to him. God's still talking to him despite what's in his heart. Despite what was going on in his life. Despite of him being content. Despite of... we don't even know what's going on in this guy's life. Other than he's living there with his wife and he's got a flock of sheep that he's faithful for. And God speaks to him and he says, "Who am I to go to these people?" And God chooses him. this whole focus is to see how we respond to the voice of God. Not just hearing it, but what do we do when God speaks to you? God desires that you respond. God wants you to respond when He speaks to you. You are not a robot. You're not. God did not make you without the ability to make choices. I could jump right off this stage right now if I wanted to. I could. I can make choices. God wants me to choose to obey when He talks to me. Simple stuff. Baby steps. Not like go to New York and stand on a pillar and preach. Not stuff like that. Simple stuff, first of all. Be nice to your wife. Don't say that. What does my word say about that? Simple stuff. But that's where it starts. And there's building blocks when God starts to speak to you. What do you do with it when God talks to you? Are you like Moses? Why me? Why are you asking me to do it? I'm slow of speech. You made a bad choice, God. That's what was in his heart. He told him. Moses told the Lord and said, I'm slow of tongue. I'm the wrong guy. I don't want to do it. And God already picked him. And how many times are we like that? God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to say that. I hear you, but I don't want to do it. See, hearing, not the hard part. It's doing. And Moses is standing on this holy ground. He's standing there and God says to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, in verse 6. And Moses hid his face. He's afraid to look on God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And God knows their sorrow. He knows your sorrow. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from a land, to a good large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And verse 10, come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, and you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And this is once. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll give him once. Moses, he does it 4 or 5 times. Over and over. Lord, no. Lord, you picked the wrong guy. And then God gets mad. God gets angry with him. And for the lack of time, I'm gonna skip down. And it says in verse 14 of chapter 4, it says, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. It was kindled against him. This is the 5th or 6th time. It says in verse 10, Moses says, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am as slow of speech and slow of tongue, making excuses. And don't get me wrong, I know Moses, God says Moses was the most humble man on all the earth. God says that. And Moses says to God, show me your glory later. And God shows him his glory. God does a work in this man. Amazing. On the Mount of Transfiguration, I mean, we're talking God used this man. Mighty man of God. But like I said, the Bible's not going to pull punches. We see this part in his life, this hard part in his life. And God speaks to him and he says, he gives him signs. He says, if they don't believe you, do this. Throw your rod down, it'll become a snake. If they don't believe you, put your hand in your shirt and it'll come out leprous. These are wonders, so they will believe you. And God speaks to Moses, and how does Moses respond? He responds with, uh-uh, I don't want to do it. And I'm telling you, like I already said, God God has this desire in His heart. That's why He created you. For you to respond to Him. That when He speaks to you, you respond and you say, okay, or I want to do it, or I want to be with you. I want to do what you asked me to do. I want to be your servant. I want to be your right-hand man. God wants that. God's heart desires that. That's why He made man. And I think about it breaking His heart when He comes to you and says, you know, don't do this, or come here, don't do that. And you say, oh, I don't want to. That's why I made you. I made you so we could have this relationship. And so I have the highest joy for you if you'll obey. If you will walk this out, you will be blessed. I have your highest joy in mind. God had it all. He saw it all with Moses. He says, Moses, if you'll just do this, I'm going to use you, buddy. I'm going to use you. I got my highest joy for you if you'll obey my voice. You are going to lead these people to victory and out of bondage. You're going to have a place of prominence if you listen. You heed my voice. And he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to listen. Third, fourth time, fifth time, and it says God was angry. God got mad. God's talking to him out of a bush that's on fire. I've never seen that before. So my whole point, what do you do when He talks to you? Moses continues to reject it. So after all these objections, God still uses him. That's a whole other sermon. After all these rejections and all these excuses, God still uses him. God still says, no, you're the one. And I know your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Because if Moses said, who am I to go to this people? And God said, all right, forget it. Go. I'll find somebody else. Man, He wouldn't use any of us. Don't kid yourself. You know, those things come up in our flesh. That strong man wants to overpower the voice of God. He needs grace and patience, and he bears with you and wants to use you. And here's something I forgot to bring out, but I think it's a precious truth. It says, Moses says, I'll turn aside to see why this bush burns and is not consumed. And then it says in the very next verse, so when God saw that he turned aside. So when God saw he turned aside, he spoke to him. And I started wondering, I was like, what if Moses didn't turn aside? Would God have spoke to him? Or would God have waited for the next person to come along that would listen? I started wondering, why is that in there? I do that. Why'd God put that sentence in there? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, then God called to him. I was like, wow, Moses, if you wouldn't have turned aside, who knows what would have happened? Maybe God would have waited. Maybe God would have continued to wait for Moses. Or maybe God would have waited for a person that will listen. That's a thought for you to chew on. But that stuff's in there for a reason. What will you do? The grace in all this, the encouragement in all this, is that God still used Moses. Despite questioning God and his rejection and, oh, I don't want to do it, and, oh, I'm the wrong guy, and use my brother to talk. God still used him. That's the grace. But what will you do with his voice? God speaks to you. We've already been through that. God talks to each one of you. But we have to obey that voice. That is what is going to separate you in these days. That's what's going to separate you from the rest. When you are somebody that obeys God's voice and acts on God's voice and doesn't tune it out, you're going to pull away from the crowd. Because God's going to use you. And let's pull away together. Let's pull away as a group from the rest. Because you've got a whole world of Christians. God wants to speak to them and continues to speak to them through this book and through their pastors. They don't want to listen. But when we listen, we start to act on it. Start to obey. We'll start to pull away and God will start to use you to do amazing things, mighty things. Amen, right? Listen to Him. We have to listen to Him. So He can use us because He wants to use us. You know, my prayer is, I pray this all the time. God, I want to be Your man. It's a simple prayer. That's what I pray. God, I want to be Your man. Out of all of them, I want to be Your man. Remember when there was a man sitting by the pool and he was lame and he couldn't get in the water. He was lame and the angel would come down and stir up the water and whoever got in the water fastest would get healed. And he would sit there day after day in his state just lame and he was sick and he was paralyzed and he tried to get somebody to get in the water every day when that angel came down so he could be healed. And one day Jesus comes to that pool and looks at this man and He says, "Why don't you go into the water?" And what does that man say? He says, "Lord, I have no man to put me in the water." And I remember reading that one time going, "Oh!" You know, He didn't say, "I had no Jesus" or "I had no, you weren't here." He said, "I had no man to put me in the water." It just took somebody to put Him in there and He would have been healed. God, I want to be Your man. Because He needed somebody. He needed somebody filled with the Lord. And He told the Lord, "I had no man." So His man came. It was Jesus Christ, right? So pray that you could be His man or His woman. That you'll listen to His voice. That's it, I'm done. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And you know, it's encouraging, Lord. It's not something that's this hard because, yeah, we go through difficulties obeying Your voice and our flesh is strong, but Father, You bear with us and You give us grace and there's so much peace in knowing You have mapped out our perfect joy. You desire the absolute best for us. When we hear Your voice and we obey Your voice, we begin to walk on the path of the best for our lives. And we can be used for You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, You speak to the people of this church, God. Thank You, You speak through Pastor Mark and Pastor Maggie. Thank You, You speak through the elders, God. Thank You that You speak through the pulpit, through people that step up here, God. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit comes here and speaks to us and that this Bible hasn't been taken away from us by this government and by this world system. Thank You, God, that You continue to speak to us and we can listen. And we can apply these things to our lives, God. We worship You, Father, and we thank You for salvation, Your grace, Lord. Thank You for Your blood. And thank You for Your forgiveness every time we act like Moses did and we don't want to listen. We don't want to do what You ask, God. And it's hard and our flesh drags its feet. But You show grace and You have patience. And we thank You for that each and every time You've done that in our lives, God. Lord, let Your Word go deep. Not what I said, but let Your Word go deep into our hearts and change us and make us like Jesus, because that's the goal of this thing. Make us like Jesus, Father, and use us like Jesus so we might complete what You have planned for us and go into all the world and tell them about You and become more like Jesus. In Your name, Jesus Christ.